Hi guys, welcome back to the Balanced and Empowered Fitness Podcast. Hannah Polly here. I hope you guys are all having a great week. Thank you for tuning into this week's episode. So, one of my favorite things to talk about and common questions that I get asked about glute training. Okay, so like how to set up your glute training, what exercises to do. And I figured this would be a great topic because there's not one size fits all. There's not one master way to train glutes, right? I'm going off my experience and what's helped me build my glutes and what's helped clients build glutes over the years. And the thing with glute training, just like with any type of training, it's always evolving. There's different things that like I'll try and I'll say, huh, I kind of liked this better in terms of how I structure my workout. So I wanted to share that with you guys today. So let's dig in. Okay. Now, when it comes to glute training, so there's so many misconceptions, okay? Because a lot of times, and those of you might be thinking this too as you're listening, when you hear glute training, what do you think of? Do you think of heavy squats, deadlifts, lunges, leg presses, or do you think of like cable kickbacks and jump squats and Stairmaster? So a lot of times people will think of like, okay, I need to do a lot of isolation work, right? I need to do the Stairmaster for an hour. I need to do cable glute kickbacks. I need to do clamshells and just all these isolated movements and not train heavy. No. Now, we do need isolation movements and we'll cover that. But glute training, building your glutes, it truly involves getting stronger at these compound movements, training heavy, training hard. You have to overload the muscle. I mean, the glutes are the biggest muscle in the body. Okay. Like you have to overload the muscle. So we're going to talk about that today. Okay. So, and as far as like, like frequency in terms of training glutes, for me specifically, and again, I've been training for a very long time. Okay. I've been training for over a decade. So when I got really serious about building my glutes, I started training glutes 3 days a week, and I still do that. And it works really well for me. I'm not saying that everyone needs to do that much or should do that much. I could honestly probably train them twice a week and maybe see the same amount of progress, but it's just what I do. It's what's worked for me, and that's what I continue to do. So, if you are someone who's brand new to training, you really just need one lower body day. We'll throw in some glute stuff and, we'll build upon that, work you up to 2 or 3 days a week. If you're someone who's like intermediate, who maybe you train legs once a week, you have some time in your schedule, bump up that training to like 2 times a week. Do like your leg day, do some glute focus movements, and then have like a separate glute day just like by itself, where you're just focusing on like their mainly glute focus movements that day. If you're more advanced and you're kind of wanting to switch your goals, let's say that maybe you train 4 to 5 days a week, but you only hit legs like once or twice, maybe throw another glute day and see how that goes and kind of change up your movements in terms of your glute focus movements and your leg days. And like I said, I'll go over how to do that. But that's just like frequency. I would say honestly, the sweet spot is 2 days a week. Like I would say like that would be the average that I would like, that most people are probably hitting glutes that are more focused on like building and shaping their glutes. But yeah, 2 to 3 times a week, but mostly focusing on that 2 times a week. Not everyone needs that third day. So let's dig in. All right. So I want to go over just like what the movement should look like, what type of movement you should have in your glute training day. Okay. So the first one is a hip thrust. All right. So I would prefer this to be barbell if you go to a gym. Obviously, you can use a hip thrust machine as long as it feels good. Me personally, I feel barbell hip thrust so much better than machine hip thrust. Like it's like a night and day difference. So for me, I always prefer barbell. But you can do hip thrust with the barbell. You can do it with a machine if your gym has one. You can do it with a dumbbell. The only thing with like a dumbbell is like as you get stronger, you're sort of capped because like, it gets kind of hard to like pick a head like a single dumbbell up, and as you get stronger, it's hard to like load it on your lap. It's like a whole thing. Whereas a barbell, you can put the plates on and like you roll it on top of you, so it's a lot easier to set up usually. Even like a glute bridge variation, so like barbell, dumbbell, again, a bridge is very similar. It's a little bit shorter range of motion. So hip thrust, you're leaning back against like a bench or something. And or like on a machine, and a bridge, you're laying like flat down. So typically you're like laying flat on the ground and you're thrusting a barbell or a dumbbell like from the ground up. So it's a little bit shorter range of motion, but either of those are great. I prefer hip thrust for sure. So some type of hip thrust movement. And there's different like machines. I mean, if you go to one, like a more like advanced gym, I mean, there's like standing hip thrust machines. There's a ton of stuff there, but just keep it simple. Machine or barbell is usually the best, in my opinion. Okay, the next one is an RDL. Okay, so or RDL or deadlift. So this is a hip hinge movement. Okay, so your straight leg deadlift, Romanian, well, really, it's a Romanian deadlift is really what we're talking about here. And bending your knees a little bit more than you would a regular RDL because it's going to make a little bit more glute focus there. So we always want some type of RDL or like a variation. So RDL with a barbell, with dumbbells, you could even do a good variation of RDLs or good mornings. So if your gym has a hack squat, I love doing good mornings on the hack squat. I do those at least once a week. I do them once a week, not at least. I do them once a week, in place of like an RDL. And man, they feel so good. But I typically won't program those for someone unless like they're very advanced in training, because it's pretty specific how you have to set up on the hack squat. And like I never would want like a beginner to do that, but that's just always like a variation you can throw in. And then even like deadlifts. So not even like RDLs or Romanian deadlifts, but like even like a conventional or sumo deadlift, I'll have in my training protocol sometimes. And I don't change up my workouts every week. You know, I know I've talked about this before, but I always say try to keep the same training plan for at least 8 weeks. I mean, if you can keep it for at least 8 to 12 weeks, you know, I typically change up my girls around every 8 weeks. Now, if they're like beginners and we're starting like very low, I'll do it for like 4 weeks and I'll build upon that. But you just need to give it enough time to really get stronger at these workouts. I feel like a month usually just is not enough time to get stronger at these movements and like to really force the growth. You really don't need a bunch of different exercise. You really just need all of these and just like the variations and just getting stronger at them over time. So sometimes when I change up my programming, I'll have deadlifts in there. So I'll typically do conventional deadlifts. And even when I do conventional deadlifts, I sort of have a little bit of a hip hinge with it, which is what an RDL, typically what you're doing in RDL, it's going to be more hip and glute dominant. So sometimes I'll swap deadlifts for like an RDL, but always want some type of RDL, like I said, or like a good morning or a deadlift in there. And you can do those with, like I said, barbell or dumbbells. Okay, the next one is you want a knee dominant movement. Okay, so what this could be like your squats, lunges, Bulgarian split squats, reverse lunges, Bulgarian split squats and reverse lunges, or diagonal walking lunges, which is where you're kind of stepping outward. Those are going to all be more a little bit more glute focused. Bulgarian split squats, you make them more glute focused by leaning more forward a little bit versus being more upright. It's going to be a little bit more quad focused. So if you push your foot out a little bit farther, you're at 90 degree angle, you lean a little bit more forward in the Bulgarians. That is going to be more glute focused. So your squats can be, you know, like I said, a knee dominant. So barbell squats, Smith machine squats, dumbbells, you know, whether it's a sumo squat, a goblet squat, typically like your sumo squats are going to be more glute focused. You know, barbell back squats. I personally love barbell back squats. I feel like they're not always necessary for glute growth, but I personally love them, especially if you can get stronger at them. Because of course, if we're getting stronger and we're really pushing through our glutes, we're going to see some growth there. Hack squats, so belt squats, like there's so many different types of squats. Some type of knee dominant movement like that. And sometimes in my training split, I'll have like maybe like a lunge and a squat. Like sometimes I'll double up on the knee dominant. It just kind of depends on my day, which we'll go over that. But yeah, so some type of knee dominant exercise. We do not want to be skipping squats or lunges or any of those. And then lunges you can do body weight, you can do holding dumbbells, you can do holding like one of those pre-weighted barbells on your back. You can even do like step ups. I've never been a big fan of step ups. I just feel like with lunges, you can train so much heavier and get so much more out of it, personally, in my opinion. But those are all just different options. And okay, the next type of exercise you want in your glute training is our abductions. Okay, so my personal favorite are seated hip abductions, right? This is where we're gonna build that shelf, right? Obviously, all parts we're building the shelf, but this is really gonna work your outer glutes here. So seated hip abduction, you can also do like a cable hip abduction. Or if you're at home doing things, you could do like a weighted clamshell, or like a banded hip abduction. So, like I said, those are always very, very crucial in glute training. Like, do not skip those. Again, those are more of an isolation movement, which I'll go over which ones are compounds, which ones are isolation, but we definitely want a seated hip abduction, or we want some type of abduction in our training. And then the next one are kickbacks. So glute kickbacks. Again, another isolation movement here. So my personal favorite are cable glute kickbacks. Go heavy, go hard on these. Now, I'm not saying go heavy to where you lose your form, right? But these sh should not be a walk in the park. These should be hard. So like I said, cable kickback. There's like machine kick, but glute kickbacks. A lot of times, if you look around your gym, usually you'll see like it'll say glute kickback. There's a machine. You can do banded glute kickbacks if you're like at home and you're limited on things, or even like floor glute kickbacks where you're kind of on the floor and you kick your leg up. It's kind of like a glute, so like a body weight glute movement. You could even it's sort of like a donkey kick, I guess we could call it. And then you could even put a dumbbell in like your knee pit to add resistance. So that's a good way to get glute kickbacks. And then another one that I personally love to add these in are leg presses. Even like, because not everyone wants to grow their legs, and I understand that some of you might listen and say, well, I just want to grow my booty, I don't want to grow my legs, but just, it's going to be hard to like grow your glutes and not grow your legs. And we love some big, strong legs, but you can do a glute focused leg press. I just love leg press. I think it's amazing because, like, again, there's so many variables taken out of it. Since you're really just pushing up some heavy weight with your lower body. Like your upper body isn't really involved, and that's what I like a lot about it. So on leg press, the way you put your feet determines if it's like knee dominant or if it's like hip dominant. But to make it more glute focused, you'd want to put your feet higher and farther apart a little bit on the sled. So you're not super low on the sled, you're not in the middle, you're up top, and you just see as needed to where that's gonna be a lot more glute focus. So I really, really like to program leg presses for glute growth as well. So I'm not saying you need every single one of those on one day, right? You just want to make sure, like if you're training glutes twice a week, you want to make sure you're hitting all these at least once. Like I said, I'm not saying that you need to hit it on the same day, but I mean, one, two, three, four, five, six. I mean, that's six exercises. I mean, if you're not training any isolation movement on legs, like leg extensions, leg curls, which I like to add those in, so I kind of have to change, like divvy mine up a little bit. I mean, you could do all of these on one day and that'd be fine. But then it's like if you have leg extension, leg curls, you're going to be doing way too much volume. So like I said, just making sure you're hitting those at least once a week. If you can hit them twice, amazing. And that way you're working all parts of the glutes. So yeah, super, super exciting stuff. I'm telling you, that's what's made the biggest difference in making sure I'm hitting these every week. And like the thing is like that's the thing with glute training is like, most of these are compounds. Okay. So like your isolation movements are, like your abduction and like your kickback and, things like that. Be like, yes, those are important, but those are not the priority. The priority are getting stronger and training heavy on these other movements. I would say the best glute exercise is 100% a hip thrust. That's just my opinion, just because it is so glute focused. Like, yes, your lower body's involved a little bit, but it's like if you do them right, your glutes are what's moving and controlling the weight. And there's just, in my opinion, not another exercise that does it the way that hip thrusts do. So those are all exercises. Like I said, any of those variations that I listed with them, perfectly, perfectly fine to do. And like I said, with your glute training, you don't want to do too much. Okay. You don't want to be doing seven, eight, 10 different exercises. Like, you shouldn't have enough stamina and you should be so fatigued from going training with intensity on your sets that you're like, oh my gosh, there's no way I could even do another set like hard if I wanted to. Because sometimes there's what we call junk volume, and sometimes if you're just doing too many things, it's like it can be counterproductive at some point. A lot of times less is more. If you can train hard for like 4 to 6 exercises versus like, kind of going mediocre intensity on 8 to 9 exercises, like you're going to get a lot more out of doing that 4 to 6. Because again, the goal with strength training is to get stronger, right? It's not to like see how many exercises we can do and get our heart rate up, right? Like the goal is to get stronger and in hopes of building muscle. Even if your goal isn't to build muscle, you still want to get stronger because the more muscle that we have on our body, on our frame, the leaner we're going to stay. And the stronger we're going to stay, even in our later years of life, it's improving our bone density. So it's just really, really important. So it goes a little bit deeper than just building some nice glutes. You know what I'm saying? And typically, like the rep range you want to stay in, if your goal is to build muscle, 8 to 12. I mean, even people who are like in a dieting phase, I'm like typically between 8 to 12. Now, sometimes I'll have rep ranges of 15, sometimes rep ranges of 6, a little bit lower, but that's just like here and there. I would say generally my rep targets stay between 8 and 12, and usually I'll program that for someone who's trying to grow. So, hope that makes sense, guys. I can give you just like a quick example of just what like a 2-day glute training split could look like. All right. So the way that you could split these up, let's say that you want to also train, because I always recommend still training your legs. Okay. Even if your main focus is about glutes, don't skip like your leg extensions and leg curls, which are going to work your quads and hamstrings. So let me break this down for you. So and a good example of like glute day one. Okay. Let's say glute day one with some quads. So you would do hip thrust, you do one hip thrust variation, 3 sets, 8 to 12 reps. One RDL variation. So again, barbell, good mornings, dumbbell, 3 sets, 8 to 12 reps. And again, this is just in general. Like I said, sometimes I'll program it where rep ranges are a little bit different. This is a very general way to explain how to go over it. We got your knee dominant, let's say Bulgarian split squats on this day, and then we have our leg extensions and then a cable kickback. Perfect. And then day two, let's say we have another hip thrust variation, another abduction, another RDL. We have our lying leg curls for our hamstrings. We have, let's say we're doing reverse hack squat that day for our knee dominant, and we're throwing in a little bit of leg press. So like as you see, like we're not going to add in every single thing each day usually, but as long as we're hitting them at least once, some of them twice, that's perfect. And like I said, if you train like 3 days a week, it's more than doable to hit all these at least twice a week, which is what I do. But I know it can get tricky because you don't want to add too many exercises where you're doing junk volume, right? But you also want to make sure that you're hitting, and that way you're building all parts of your glutes and not neglecting your legs. Like I said, don't neglect your hamstring curls and your leg extensions. Like even if you don't want to grow your legs, you should still do those to keep your legs strong. Because my opinion, we need strong legs to build strong glutes. So it's just really, really important. But I hope that makes sense, guys. Again, I just want to give you a quick overview of what glute training could look like. I feel like, again, this is not a one size fits all, but in general, if someone followed this and really ensured that they progressively got stronger at this, and that's another thing with glute training is obviously like any type of muscle we want to build, we want to get stronger at the movements. For if you're doing hip thrusts, and you're following, this training block for 8 weeks, you don't want to be doing that same weight for the entire 8 weeks. You want to be getting stronger. You want to be increasing weight. Most importantly, you want to be increasing weight, increasing reps when you can, and just perfecting form, because that's really where you're going to grow. And that's someone that just follows this general guideline and is eating enough protein and taking rest days and drinking their water and sleeping well and really getting stronger at these. I'm telling you will see some glute progress. Especially again, your eating has to be on point too, but that's another call for another day. But anyway, I hope this was helpful, guys. Like I said, I get a lot of questions on this, so I kind of wanted to just give again my personal opinion on what's worked for me, what's worked for clients in the past. You'll read and hear so many different things when it comes to glute training, but I've tried various things in this decade I've been doing it, and this is truly where the magic has happened for me. So I wanted to share. And as always, guys, if you felt this episode was helpful, please leave me a 5-star review. If you're on Apple, leave me a 5-star rating and review. It means the world. I always love feedback. If you're on Spotify, a 5-star rating means the world. And I really appreciate you guys tuning in and for your support. So hope this was helpful. As always, if you have any questions, my socials are tagged below in the description box. And I'll see you guys next episode. Thank you.